Hello, and welcome to No Extra Notes. I'm your host, Richard Zaru. Today on the show, we welcome Daniel Iglesias. Daniel, welcome to the show. Tell us about some of your biggest influences.
Well, the objective and programmable nature of computers is a pretty big influence. Things started to gel for me when I began playing with real-time manipulation of sound-creating computer systems at a relatively low level. That's when I began building my own live performance software from scratch rather than using commercial applications. Years later, I started to get an awareness of how technological tools influence creativity by guiding you towards certain results. And hopefully with this awareness comes the ability to not let your computer tools constrain you too much. But that knowledge of tech guiding aesthetics and concepts of a piece is pretty central to me. I was trained musically from a very young age, but I didn't hear any contemporary music until around high school. Like many American composers my age, minimalism was my primary entry point. And then I was exposed to more in college. It was so different than the repertoire I was playing at that age, it necessarily demanded my attention. Nowadays, I go to a lot of my friends and colleagues' shows around the city, and that is a big constant influence on me, seeing what they're doing, what I like and don't like about it. And the intersection of art and tech in general is, of course, such a giant creative world that I'm always being influenced or impressed by things I see or hear in it. I'm very conceptually interested in and influenced by people who unify audio and video at a very close and low technological level, manipulating raw bits on non-traditional or idiosyncratic hardware. People see me using a computer and they assume that I must only be interested in things that are made with the newest technology, but that's not the case. I actually use a lot of old and non-shiny tech as well, which often has a distinct personality that general purpose computers don't have.
Well, what kind of music do you listen to?
I don't curl up by the fireplace and put on a Stockhausen record, in case that's the stereotype of composers. I go to many contemporary music shows, of course, but in my free time, I listen mainly to popular music, and really, so does every other American composer my age, even if they claim otherwise. Now, obviously, I'm quite attached to the importance of the contemporary canon of composers, especially those that were or are electroacoustic music pioneers. But I have to admit that historically, popular music has always been far more welcoming in terms of using new tools for sound production. So when I teach electronic music composition and production, and I want to play examples of synthesizers or compression or reverb or spatialization or samplers, I'll throw in the historical examples of Xenakis and Stockhausen and Steve Reich, which I love, but I'm mostly playing the Beach Boys and David Bowie and Pink Floyd and Bjork and the Knife. And now that I'm incorporating live video elements into my own work, I see that divide even more starkly, with live video becoming more and more a standard element in popular music performance and not so much in contemporary music practice.
What are you working on at the moment?
I usually have many different upcoming projects, and I never really know what I'll be working on more than a couple of months in advance. The biggest thing right now, I am preparing for a show with my ensemble, Spirograph Agnew, which is three string players plus myself on computer. All four of our sounds are being manipulated live and also being turned into visual forms for live video for 3D glasses. Some other projects right now, I'm working on live video performance system for a friend's ensemble piece. I'm working on an iPhone app for a public mass performance piece that is going to take place on the High Line in New York this winter. I'm part of the Laptop Ensemble sideband, and I am adapting a multimedia piece of mine for them. And I'm revamping an older percussion piece with live 3D video for a performance in the spring. I also have a Game Boy rock band called Datalore that I'm always working on. So, always quite a lot.
All right, so why are you a musician?
If I really had to psychoanalyze myself, I'd be forced to admit in retrospect that part of the reason I went into music is because it is challenging. Making something interesting from scratch, especially something that isn't completely based on pre-existing models or forms, is hard. Getting a computer to implement your abstract ideas about interaction or synthesis or multimedia is also hard. Most traditional composers have all of the skills and tools they want for their piece in place before they begin it, whereas I don't. I create my own tools from scratch for every piece. Every work has a different combination of media and a different performance context. Not everything is for a traditional concert hall setup. So this means that while there are many common themes and modes for my work, no two pieces are very similar.
All right, let's listen to some music. Tell us about the first piece.
The first piece is titled Cardinality Aleph 2 from 2010 for two pianos and two percussion, and it's performed by the great ensemble Yarn Wire. In it, the two percussionists are playing electronic sample pads, so they are triggering sounds with their drumsticks. The players are paired up so that one piano and one percussionist function together, with the electronic sound highlighting or extending certain elements of the acoustic sound, or vice versa, with the piano highlighting or extending elements of the electronic sound. Their sounds are also being visualized in a real-time video element for 3D glasses, so I encourage the listener to also go to my webpage and seek out the video of the piece. Each electronic sound is actually a combination of three sounds, and the audio signals of these are charted like an oscilloscope on three axes to create a 3D shape that's defined totally by the sound. So the sounds were composed both for their aural and visual properties. This kind of composing for two media at the same time is a big recent theme in my work. And the title refers to the mathematical theorem of different scales or cardinalities of infinity, with the set of all possible curves, which includes all the shapes that these charted audio signals could create, being the largest set of infinity.
Thank you.
This next piece is a tape piece, of which I don't make very many since live performance is very important to me, but I thought that in this podcast format it might work well. It is an earlier piece of mine from 2007 entitled Goban, which was commissioned by choreographer Zi Chun of the Zi Chun Dance Company. It was one of her company's first pieces, and it was our first collaboration, which has since turned into a long and fruitful one. I've done several other pieces for her and her company, as well as a live audio video system with which we regularly perform. For this piece, she used the ancient strategy board game Go as the central metaphor, which extends into themes of war and math and power and interaction. The board pieces are hard stones, and they're used as props in the performance, so we decided to have the sound of those stones tapping together be the main sound source. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for downloading and listening to No Extra Notes. Our podcast is copyright 2011, No Extra Notes. Our theme music was written by Sarah Horick, and I hope you download us again at noextranotes.wordpress.com.